following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Refuge family, welcome back to the empty sanctuary. Not empty or void of the Spirit of the Lord for sure, but you guys aren't here. But you're wherever you're at right now watching. Fireside Chat, this would be our fourth week, which is amazing to think about beginning our fourth week of Fireside Chats. This week's going to be different, though. Our chats this week, we're going to focus on what's commonly referred to as Passion Week, that week leading up to, of course, our Lord's death and resurrection. And so the chats this week are still going to be encouraging. That's still going to be the focus. But the text is going to come from the events of that week. And of course, yesterday being Palm Sunday, and hopefully you heard Pastor Bill's message on that. And then the subsequent events as they took place on that week. And of course, today being Monday, the day after Palm Sunday, Pastor David will be sharing. And he'll be sharing from his home. So you will get that experience from his home to yours. So stay tuned for that in just a matter of seconds. And by way of announcement, very quickly, Good Friday will be a full Good Friday one-hour service. It won't just be a 15-minute chat, but that'll be happening at noon, of course. And then last thing before we switch it over to David is the food distribution. Just was checking with some of the folks that serve in that. And today we doubled last week's amount of folks coming out. This is for Refuge family, by the way, that I'm speaking of. 11 to 12, it's just for you, just for the Refuge family to come out and pick up food. It's been provided for. The Lord has provided. It's for you. It happens from 11 to 12. But then in the afternoon, we have our food distribution for the general public on Monday and Tuesdays, but for you, the family, just 11 to 12. So I'm glad that you're availing yourself of the Lord's blessings, and let's do that now with this message from David. All right.
What's up, Refuge family? This is Pastor David here with today's Fireside Chat. As you can see, I'm not at Refuge right now. This is not Refuge's new stage setup. No, this is not Jonathan Ferguson's office with the map behind me. This is, in fact, my living room. And so, welcome to my living room. I do have some coffee left. That's about a sip. That's about one sip left. That's a sad day. And obviously, I don't have fire. This is my couch. I'm sitting on my couch. I don't want my couch on fire. I don't want to be on fire. Makes sense, right? But what I do have, I don't know if you guys can see that, is the classic edition of My Utmost for His Highest by the homie Oswald Chambers. Closest thing to fire I have in this house other than the Word of God itself. And so, guys, I just want to thank you. Thank you guys for tuning in today. Thank you guys for making this a part of your routine. And the pastors and I, we've just been encouraged that you guys are including us in your daily time, tuning in with us at noon every single day, Monday through Friday, just to hear an encouragement from the Word of God. And so that's what we're going to do this morning, or this afternoon, I should say, right now. It's going to be a little bit different because we're in Holy Week right now. And so we want these to be devotional, of course, but we also want these to be informative. We want people to know the events that led up, up to the crucifixion and obviously up to Resurrection Sunday. And so yesterday was Palm Sunday, and this is where Jesus was making his trek to Jerusalem. We see him have this conversation with two of his disciples saying, "Hey guys, I need you to go over here. And what you're going to find is a donkey and a colt tied up with this donkey. And I need you guys to go there. Bring them back to me because I have use of them. I have need of them." And so the disciples say, "Okay, Jesus, you got it." They go, and sure enough, just as Jesus said, there was the donkey and the colt, and they were tied up together. So they bring them to Jesus. And you have this scene where they're laying clothes, over the colt. And Jesus starts making what we call the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. And what's so interesting about this and so awesome about this moment It's actually recorded for us in verse 4 and 5 of Matthew 21. I'm going to read that. Verse 4. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so Jesus making this triumphal entry, this is a fulfillment of prophecy right here. This is a prophetic moment that is happening. And so as this is happening, as Jesus is fulfilling prophecy, you have in verse 9, it says, then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, and they're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, as I read this, I can't help but to picture or try to picture, like, what would that have been like? What if I was there on the streets as I'm seeing this Jesus on this colt, and he's strolling, and people are laying down the palm branches, right? And people are yelling, they're proclaiming, exclaiming, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, right? I'm a huge soccer fan. I'm a huge football fan, right? However you want to say that. And I watch English Premier League a lot. The commentators, if they were around, they would say, total scenes right now. What we are witnessing is total scenes. And it is. This is total scenes. This is a big moment. So that's Palm Sunday, right? All of these things has transpired. And so today, Holy Week, we're on Monday. And so I want to just continue this account. So if you guys would open your Bibles to Matthew 21. We're going to read from verse 10 to verse 19. If you are tuning in with us right now and you are driving, I love you, but do not pull out your Bible, okay? Just continue listening. Verse 10. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. People are crying out, Hosanna to the highest, as this man is on this donkey and going through the streets. Who is this man? That's a valid question, right? Who is this guy? What is going on here? And they answer, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Verse 12, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what they are saying? And Jesus responds to them and says, yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. Now, what I wanted to do is I wanted to hit on three things that I pick up on this Monday, Holy Week. The first one sticks out to me immediately is Jesus at the temple. Now, we know from other gospel accounts that this probably was the second time he did this, because there's something recorded earlier on in his ministry where he did something very similar to this. And so Jesus, he's at the temple. And what does it say? It says in verse 12 that he's driving out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said this to them, these words, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now, I'm trying to picture this, right? We're told in the Gospel of John in the very beginning that Jesus was with God in the beginning. We find out later on in chapter 1, that Jesus is the Word that became flesh. Jesus is God, God incarnate, right? So Jesus is going to the temple. God is going to the temple, a place that is meant for prayer, a place that is meant for praise, a place that is meant for contemplating the promises of God, right? He goes there, and what does he see? He sees people taking advantage, using this temple, this area right here as a place to gain more money, to get profit, greed, right? All of these things. And he is mad. He is angry, righteous anger, what we're seeing right here. The temple is not operating in the way that God created it to be to operate in. It is acting, or the people are not doing what is intended for this temple right now. So he is very, very angry, right? And he's flipping these things over and he's saying, you have made this a den of thieves. This is supposed to be a house of prayer. You are destroying what I've created this to be. Guys, you're destroying this, right? So that's what Jesus is saying. So that's the first thing that sticks out to me. The second thing that sticks out to me is at the very end of what the passage that we just read. It's in verses 18 through 19. It's about this idea of this fig tree that's being withered. What is this, right? It says, now in the morning as he returned to the city, he was hungry, right? We know that God, or that Jesus, is fully God, right? But he's also fully man. And so Jesus is hungry. He's ministering. He's busy. He's doing all these different things, right? And he's walking. He's hungry. So what happens? As he's walking, he sees a fig tree by the road. So he comes to this fig tree and he found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. Jesus is hungry. He's walking. He sees this tree there. Yes, it's a fig tree, right? What do I expect to be on a fig tree? Figs, food. So Jesus goes up to this fig tree and he sees nothing on it but leaves. Again, something that God created, this plant, and it was supposed to operate in a specific way, meaning it was supposed to produce fruit. It was supposed to produce figs. And it is not functioning in the way that God had intended it for it to function. Sounds familiar, right? To what we just read about with the temple not operating in the way it was supposed to because of what the people were doing. So what does Jesus do? He pronounces a curse, or he judges, a judgment on this fig tree. And the fig tree withers away. It says immediately the fig tree withered away. Now what's interesting about this is I wouldn't say they're two different takes, but they kind of go hand in hand. As I was looking these things up, like what does all of this mean, right? This fig tree, and why is this significant? Well, again, we saw what happened in the temple and how the people were taking advantage and they weren't being the leaders that they were supposed to be. And so as I was reading through this and looking at different commentaries even, it's as if Jesus is pronouncing almost like an impending judgment on Israel's leaders, saying, listen, if you're not going to function in the way that I've created you to function to bear fruit, judgment is coming, right? Such a sobering reminder. This fig tree gets withered away, gets decimated by Jesus, right? And at the same time, there's also like this application for us as believers of like, man, let's be people who bear fruit. I don't want to be the fig tree that people are walking by and going, he looks good. He looks like he may be producing fruit, but when you get closer to me, you realize, dude, there's nothing but leaves. This guy's a phony, right? It's one commentary. I heard one commentator say this. It was all leaves and no fruit. Believers, brother, sister, let's not be people who are all leaves and no fruit. Let's operate in the way that God created us to operate in. Now, the last thing that sticks out to me in this passage is something that I believe we kind of just read past. It's actually kind of smack dab in the middle between the cleansing in the temple and this fig tree. And it's found in verse 14, if you guys would look there with me. It says, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. This is what I find so interesting and so awesome about Jesus. Okay, he knows his time is coming to an end here on earth, his earthly ministry. He knows he only has days left before he's going to willingly give his life for people like you and me who do not deserve the grace that he's about to give, that he's about to just pour out upon everybody. What does he do after he goes to the temple and he's flipping everything over and he's saying, you have made this a den of thieves. This is supposed to be a house of prayer. What does he do? He ministers to the outcast of the society, the write-offs, the lame, to the blind, the people that you know, if you were blind or lame, you would have been avoided. Jesus, in his last days, even with everything that's going on, he makes time for those who are hurting. Guys, we have such a compassionate Savior, such a compassionate King, a humble King. One of one of my friends, and maybe you guys know him, Chris Langham, he has a Devo on this as well. And he's like, Jesus could have come strolling in, you know, Jerusalem on the back of a dragon, right? He could have, but he chose a donkey, a colt. He's humble. He's compassionate. Guys, my encouragement for you, not only please continue to tune in every week so we can see our Savior in his last days on earth, you know, with his ministry, but guys, let's be twofold. Let's not be people, like I said, who are all leaves and no fruits, but let's be people who model who Jesus was to those around us. The compassion of Jesus to go after the one smack dab in the middle of things that are going on. Jesus has a busy plate. There's a lot on his plate, but he still made time for the one and for the twos. Guys, let us be people who do that as well. I love you, guys, praying for you guys as well. If you ever need any prayer, call Refuge. We are more than willing to be praying for you and spend time in conversation with you guys. God bless you, and we will see you guys here tomorrow.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.